Happy Mother's Day to you moms. And our brother said this morning we have precious memories of our own mothers. Some of ours are in glory, but we'll never forget the good work that they did for us. And I don't know what will become of this holiday if we keep going on in this world. I almost hate to think of the Mother's Day in the future, but so far it's implied father and a mother and children as God designed it to be. So we're thankful to remember that. Last time I spoke was Matthew chapter 10. Some of you may remember that I'm going through Matthew. Some of you may not. But anyway, I was going to go to chapter 11 today after praying about how to proceed. I was talking to Brother Andrew this morning, James, and there's a little change of plans, and the prayers that went up for Brother Burnell, I'm sure, have been transferred as far as the speaking. not the other thing. We're so glad to see him and Bernice here this morning. One thing that gives the speaker a lot of confidence, I don't know if you're going through the choice cleanings readings, but we just had Balaam and the donkey. And as you recall, the Lord gave the donkey the words. Case closed. It's all about his message, not the messenger. So we're going to read chapter 11 and make some comments on chapter 10 and see how the time treats us and look to the Lord. So let's pray now. Father, we thank you for every opportunity to gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we're so grateful for your wisdom to appoint such an hour where we can gather to remember him, to open your word and to encourage one another, to remind ourselves that we are not alone in this world. You have not left us as orphans, but as the Lord Jesus said, that he would send that precious comforter to us who would bring the Father and the Son to abide with us. So we're so grateful that God is not only with us, he's in us by grace. And we are your children, and our spirit, his witness that we are the sons of God by grace. So, Father, this morning we're so grateful. We've been considering this morning the greatness of your Son, the victory that he has won. And from this time until the full appreciation of it in glory, we would just pray to be able to go on in such a manner that brings him honor and glory and is a living witness of his truth and the fact that he's alive and that he is the Savior and the Lord. So we ask your blessing now upon the reading of your word. Please be with those, with the children downstairs, and for the children, we've been thinking about them, Father, growing up in such a world and a society, and we would pray for them. Somehow, by your grace, may that which is ugly and wrong and evil and filthy be seen as such in their hearts and not as something acceptable and right to be tolerated. So, Father, bless them. Help them as they hear the word of truth to realize that there is truth. It's God's truth. It's found in his Son, who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by him. So, Father, bless, we pray now. In his precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 1, and it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come? I missed something here. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and they said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, the man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Going back to verse 1, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. Just a few verses from chapter 10 that might be helpful. Go back to chapter 10 and verse 9. Notice this is the portion from verse 5 that he's sending them out, commanding them, and giving them instructions. But I just wanted to go to 9 through 11 for a minute. Kind of taking it a little bit out of the immediate context and by way of application for us. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs or staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat, and so on. And just a reminder to us, our dependence is on God alone. You notice today there's so much talk about currency failure. I don't know if you're aware of these things. This country is maybe on the very brink. There's so much fear abounding. Many are telling us to buy gold and silver and stock up things. You know, there might be some wisdom to that. I don't want to put that down completely. But with taking this as an application to us, let's never forget Jehovah Jireh. In Genesis 22, when the Lord provided the ram instead of Isaac, he was called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall provide. Let us not forget that beautiful psalm that we love so much, Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want or lack. I'm going to read it because a lot of times I put the wrong verse in the wrong place. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's right in the center of that psalm, isn't it? That is the key. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I believe this is a time for us to take to heart the Word of God. We in this country, many countries around the world, the Christians have been put to the test even this very day. We may be on that very brink right now. Are we ready? How are we going to get ready? By stockpiling? We're going to get ready by drawing near unto Him, taking His Word to heart, and realizing the importance of it, the truth of it, and going forth and shining for Him in this darkening world. We depend on Him. Romans 8:32, see if I can remember this one. Do we know this one? He that spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The second point is having the right spirit. Let's go down to verse 16. The right spirit. Behold, this is chapter 10 now. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, but notice, harmless as doves. And it goes on to speak of persecution. And as we can see, as we go down that little section, persecution is an opportunity to testify for God. Notice the word speak or speaketh in verse 19, twice. In verse 20, again. And it's in the midst of persecution. And what it seems to be telling us is this, is that God will allow this so that we could shine for Him. We can't really prepare the specifics of it. We prepare our hearts, and the Holy Spirit gives us what to say. We don't have to worry about that. So as we draw near to Him, and as we seek to be close to Him in our walk, we will be ready. We will speak by the Holy Spirit what He wants us to do. And it may be for us, as it is around the world, that He will bring such a time so that we can testify by the Holy Spirit for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. So we have to have the right spirit. Now, Psalm 119 is a beautiful psalm. We're going to go through it verse by verse this morning. Who knows Psalm 119? You know, some of you know Psalm 119. We're not going verse by verse. Just testing. I was just testing you. Psalm 119, verse 136. This should be the right spirit. This should be us in these days. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. This is the heart that God would have us to have. Now, keep your finger there. We have one more verse there, but 1 Timothy 2, you can turn, not turn. We don't want to spend too much time turning. 1 Timothy 2, it also gives us some clear guidance. We'll read the first four verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for that, for all that are in authority. We got our marching orders. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And notice verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Our lives, as we are in obedience to the Holy Scriptures, speak to all men of the Savior. Whether we're being blessed with quietness and peace or not. And if it's in a time of persecution, still our lives should speak of God the Savior who wants them to be saved, and we will be a living witness, whether we are comfortable or very uncomfortable. Let us be resolved that this is what we want to do. Now, we know what our mission is. We won't turn to it. Acts 1:8, Matthew 28:19 and 20. We are to go forth with the word of salvation, teaching and preaching Christ. That's our job. That's what we do until he comes. And so be, and if you're still in 119, Psalm 126, so be, the day will come. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. God knows what he's doing. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Timing is in the Lord's hands. We, the church, go forward with the gospel of salvation. Everything else, it's in the hands of the Lord. And as far as judgment coming upon this place, let's remember, turn to it, 2 Timothy 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not physical, but spiritual, to the taking down of strongholds, prayer, and holding forth the word of life. Now, just a couple more verses and we will get to chapter 11. Matthew 10, 25. He clearly tells his disciples that they called him Beelzebub, which is a very, very, very bad term. Basically, the devil. And how much more we and his disciples. And don't turn to it, but Philippians 3 speaks about knowing the power of his resurrection. But it also adds the fellowship of his sufferings. So if we're going to face the fellowship of his sufferings, we had best know the power of his resurrection. We had best be leaning on him and not ourselves. We had best be living our life in the power of the Holy Spirit, for the flesh will fail. 26 and 28, fear them not, fear them not. And in that section, he makes it clear, 29 to 31, that he cares for me. He cares for us. He values us. And verse 32, we shall confess him before men. We shall. 39, we always remember, if you want your life in this world, take it. You're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, and I mean daily, but it could be physically, you will find it. You will find it. Because what we're involved with is eternity. We're an eternal people with eternal blessing on this earth at this time. How shall we be? We should be conscious of that and living in such a manner. Okay, chapter 11. Every time I say chapter 11, I feel like we're on the brink of bankruptcy, but we're not. We're not a chapter 11. We're rich people. Spiritual wealth beyond degree. Okay, Matthew 11. So, now he's going to speak in verse 2 about John. Now, John, we love John, don't we? What a character. We saw a picture of John like a wild man, right? Out in the desert, preaching, so devoted. Nothing could stop John. He was brave, he was bold. Now, from verses 2 to 6, it said, what happened to John? He sent a couple of disciples and said, are you the one? And, you know, it's a lesson to us. I'm not criticizing John, but did John lose heart? We'll talk about that in the next section. I don't think so. But John, as we'll see, had the mindset of the Old Testament. Verse 13, we read, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. John, you might say, is the last of the Old Testament prophets. And we'll see, as it says here, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Well, why? Well, he's introducing the Messiah. No greater job than that. But John, I'm sure it must have boggled his mind. He knew Jesus is the Christ. But the Christ is not supposed to be rejected by Israel. And his prophet is thrown in prison. And he's being despised. The Lord Jesus is being despised. I think John is confused. In my opinion. So what does the blessed Lord do? Let's go to Isaiah 35. He gives John some great assurances. John, what you know is right, John. I know you don't understand everything, what's going on. But let me just refer you to something you know from the prophet Isaiah, John. We'll start at verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And this is what John was told. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. So the evidences of the power of Messiah were present. But he wasn't coming with vengeance, was he? It wasn't the whole thing that John knew. John didn't see what we can see in retrospect. Let's go to Isaiah 61. Very telling, Isaiah 61, for the Lord went to the synagogue in the beginning of his ministry. Remember, he went to the synagogue in Capernaum, and he read Psalm 61. What is Psalm 61 for us? It was the scroll. And he stopped at a particular point. So let's read Psalm 61. And the Lord Jesus read at that time, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the scroll. He didn't say the rest of it, because the rest of it was coming at another time. Israel would reject her Messiah. It didn't change the fact that he was Messiah. It didn't change that the offer was a good faith offer to them. It was just them rejecting the Messiah. God knew they would do it. And so John, I think, going back to chapter 11, could not yet see. The apostles didn't see hardly anything. But John could not yet see this even. So the Lord reassures him, John, I am who I am. John, I know you're in prison. I am who I am. Keep trusting. Keep doing what God gave you to do. And he had a martyr's death and went to glory. And verse 6 says to John, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Then he goes, the Lord, from verse 7 through 13, starts speaking about John. And again, he says, John was a man of boldness. John was a man who gave his all for God. John lived in poverty. John was more than a prophet, I tell you. And he tells him he was the greatest of all prophets. Verse 11, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John. That's quite a commendation from the Savior. And then he says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Hebrews tells us that the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was glorious. It spoke of the coming of the Messiah, and it gave a covering to the people until that Messiah would come. But the new is the fulfillment of everything. And the Christ is physically here. And he's giving new life and an invitation to be his own. Oh yes, greater are we who are brought into that. The church is a favorite bride of Christ. Now verse 12 is a very difficult verse. And I did ask for a little help on this from Mr. McDonald. And I got a little bit of help. And I think this is how I understand it. He said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now. Well, that's not that long of a span. That wouldn't even include, as Brother McDonald thought, well, not that I should disagree, but what Herod did to the Lord Jesus as a baby. John wasn't even revealed then. So that violence is not part of it. What is he talking about? It suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. My understanding, just take it for what it is that the rejection of Israel, it was, even up to this time, was a violent rejection of the Lord. Remember, though they didn't, that many times they tried to kill him, but it wasn't his time. Their hatred of him was so evident. He would do a miracle, and they would go and plot his death, his removal. So it was just horrible. The reaction to the Messiah, it was violent. And I think the other part is a good violent. The second part, the violent take it by force. Well, in this kind of environment, you had to be energetic and you had to be forceful to press your way in. And that very word is used. If I can get the reference. It's in Luke 16, I think. Let's take a look. I don't have it written down. Yeah. Luke 16:16. The Lord said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So Mr. McDonald's take on it was that it's like a besieged city and people just want to get in. The ones who were faithful and recognized the Lord wanted to get in. Take it for what it's worth. But there's a lesson here. As Brother Doug said earlier in the opening, the dividing line. The dividing line. There's going to be those who are totally against him. Totally against him. Hate him. In the end. And those who are totally for him. And the choice is clear. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? It's becoming more and more evident. It's one way or the other. Make your choice. There's not much time left. Now he goes on, verse 14. And if you will receive it, this is Elias. He's speaking about John, which was for to come. Now, without getting too much turning back, Malachi 4:5 speaks about Elijah coming, making all things right before the day when the Lord shall come. And the way I understand it is that John had fulfilled that role for Israel, for the good faith offer God was giving. He even fulfilled the fact that John was in the spirit of Elijah for them. Of course, they rejected all that. But we won't turn to it. It's a very interesting verse. See if I got that one written down. Matthew 17, verse 10 and 11, I believe. The Lord says, Elijah will indeed come. I think Elijah's going to come. That's another topic. But there are two witnesses in Revelation. I believe Elijah is one of them. But he will come before the physical second coming of the Lord. But that's just another topic. But anyway, we'll continue on. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. So the Lord is saying, think about it. Think about it. If John is like Elijah coming before the Lord, who am I? I am Messiah. Think about it. And then he says, how shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the markets calling to their fellows. And you know what he's getting at. You notice, we read it already. You know, you go this way, unacceptable. You go this way, unacceptable. It's just that it's unacceptable. Made their decision. Don't trouble me with the evidence. Don't trouble me with the truth. I've already made my decision. And the brother who wrote that book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he once said to a person, he said, if I could prove to you, to your satisfaction, that Jesus is who he says he was, God incarnate, died for you and rose again, if I could prove it to you, I'm not saying I can, but if I could, would you accept it? He said, no. He says, okay, I'll see you later. Hardened in the position, they didn't want him. And notice what the Lord says at the end of verse 19. Wisdom is justified of our children. Wisdom is justified of our children. The evidence has shown it. This wonderful, beautiful Son of God who went about doing good. His words were words that a Roman soldier said, we never heard a man's, we couldn't arrest him. We never heard somebody speak like this. Whether they're Jewish guard or Roman soldiers, I don't remember. But the soldiers who came to arrest him, they testified to it. Everyone who had eyes open testified to the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, he's not walking among us, but we have his word. We have his word. He's called the Word of God because there's such a intimate connection between the word, the living word, and the written word. You can know Jesus Christ through the written word. And notice the children, justified of her children. The evidence of all those who have him as their Lord and Savior is such a witness, such a witness. People who were this way, brother prayed this morning, I was a godless heathen. People know what you were, and now they know what you are. It's a witness. They're going to have to give an account about that witness that they witnessed. Or are they making a willful decision to reject everything in front of their face? The Word of God, which is own proof. I just try to get people to read it. It's its own witness. It doesn't need a teacher, really. We're glad to have teachers, but read it. And you'll come to the conclusion that I have to be for him or against them. Before him is true, but against them is maybe I can do my own thing for a little while. These are decisions people make in their folly and in their eternal ruin. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. In this section, from 20 to 24, is amazing. The Lord is holding up the cities that he walked and did and witnessed who he was and showed who he was, compared to the wicked people of the Old Testament. Tyre and Sidon, wickedness, greed, Sodom and Gomorrah, the namesake of all that's perverse. He said that those people would fare better in the judgment than the people that Jesus walked among. Wow. That's powerful. What of those who have heard the word? On this side of the cross, through the airwaves, through witnessing of people, through the gospel, especially in the Western European and American societies. What of them who had such light? This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. What makes what's going on right now in our country so horrible is not that it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. That makes it horrible. But what makes it so horrible that it comes after Christ has come and the nation has been so blessed with the Word of God and the truth. That's what makes it worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. We are far worse. They would have repented had they seen the things that we have seen. So the question is there any hope for what we call a post-Christian society? Is there any hope? Frankly, I don't think so. But that doesn't mean there aren't hope for individuals, because he hasn't come yet. He hasn't come yet. He wants us to go forth and find the sheep that will respond to his love. Don't worry about changing the society. You're not going to change the society. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Isn't that one of the most precious scriptures? The high and the mighty, the proud and the arrogant have no clue. They have no clue. In their great wisdom, they will find themselves in the depths of hell. In their despising of the one who loved them so, they will bow the knee someday and call him Lord. Thank God he has revealed it unto babes, the humble who will simply trust him. My brother prayed this morning about simply trusting what God has said. Like a child with trust. Just trust him. There's a lady, older lady, down in the place where I work. And I think as a young child, like some of our dear young kids, came to know the Lord, but she went to college and she became wise, quote unquote. And she slipped away from her simple trust. She stumbled upon our little Bible study. And it was like she remembered. She remembered what it meant to be a little child in faith. And she thanked me for just simply saying that. Take all that baloney, for lack of a better word. Put it on the side. Just trust what he says. And she says, you know, I don't understand it, but it works. It works. Because it's true. It's true. And notice verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Doesn't that tell us something about God? Oh, he resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. All things are delivered unto me. And this again is a verse of great amazement. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Who is going to deny who this blessed Lord Jesus is? He knows the Father as the Father knows him. Is he not one with the Father? Somebody prayed this morning. of the same power and purity and holiness? Of course he is. It's everywhere you look. There's a, I don't like to say Jehovah's Witness, but that everybody understands what that is. A watchtower person at work too. Nice man. I really like him. But confused. And I just challenged him. I said, you can read that New World Translation. I have one. I read it for this very purpose. But sometimes their translation even gives a stronger testimony to who Jesus is, which I love when I find. It's in Mark when the Lord healed the demoniac and he wanted to go with the Lord. And in our version it says, Jesus said to him, go and tell your friends what God has done for you. So the man went and told his friends. Oh, that's our version, what Jesus had done for him. Their version says, Jesus says, go and tell your friends what Jehovah has done for you. Next verse. So the man went home and told his friends what Jesus had done for him. He said, look it up. It's in his version. And it's filled with such things. I wouldn't be surprised if this verse is in there. I hope it is. But their whole book is filled with the testimony of who he is. So I just said, read it. Keep reading. And I gave him a few examples that I know of. And he thanked me. Maybe if he's an honest person, he'll go and search the scriptures to see if these things aren't so. So it's a beautiful, amazing verse, something that we can hardly understand, but it speaks of who he is. He is who he is. This world can do whatever it wants in its folly. He is who he is. He knows everything. He's got the plan and the power. He's coming. He has set his king on his holy hill of Zion. Do what you will. You're not going to thwart that. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Blessed are all they who trust in him. And then we close, and I choked up on this because it means so much to me. Of all the verses I share with people, so many times I share this with people, it has so much meaning. It reveals the heart of Christ so clearly, doesn't it? Come unto me. What an invitation. And we should always emphasize, not come unto the church. Come unto what I believe. Come unto nothing else. Come unto him. Come unto me, he said. All ye that labor and heavy laden, who is not in some manner or form laboring and heavy laden? And I will give you rest. That's what the human heart needs and wants. Just want to rest. I want to be sure of things. I want to know that I'm going to be all right. I want to know that I got a friend in this world who can't fail. That's Christ. It's Jesus. Take him up on his invitation. And notice, take my yoke upon you. We need so much to emphasize that when a person trusts Christ, you're taking his yoke upon you. What does that mean? Where he steers, you're going to go. That's part of salvation. Where he steers, the yoke goes on the shoulder of the oxen, this way. So us. When we come to him, the yoke comes down, and we go where he steers. We do call him Lord, right? Call upon the name of the Lord. Learn of me. On Wednesday night, we talked about knowledge. Head knowledge puffs up. And real knowledge of the Son of God, that me might be made like him in the nuts and bolts of life. That's what he wants us to know. How to walk as he walked on this earth. What an aspiration. And to think that he tells us we can do so by complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. So in some measure, this is our aspiration. learn of me. Not this kind of learn. Of course, we had to have some knowledge, right? We had to read and know. We had to learn and grow. But it's not for some kind of a Christian puffiness. I don't know what it is. I know more than you, or Christian Jeopardy. I can win all the Jeopardy games. You know, we have the thing on. I like that game, by the way. But that's not why we're studying for next New Year's Eve, so I can answer those questions. That we might take into our heart Christ and exhibit Him day by day. Ye shall find rest unto you. This is what we're created for. Right? This is God's great program, to be conformed to the image of His Son for all eternity. And then He gives us this assurance, because it could be a scary thing to have a yoke on me. Okay, I got to go to church now. I got to go to prayer meeting. It's not like that. It's not like that. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. It's a delight to be walking with Him. A delight. A joy. What a God. What a Savior. Let's pray. Father, we bow low before You and so grateful for the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that each of us might take to heart Your word, that You would strengthen our heart for these days. Perhaps You chose us for the last generation of the church. We don't know. It's all in Your hands. But if so, let us shine until He comes. Let us not be like that church at Laodicea, but let us be like the Philadelphians, true-hearted, with yet a little strength to go forward for Him. For we ask it in His precious name, Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I know, sister, you probably have a song, but I thought of one. So, and I liked her songs, especially like last week when you played After Your Father Spoke, Give Up Your Best to the Master. I meant to tell you that. But I didn't tell you the song. Number 120. It brings us back. We often sing it in the Lord's Supper. It brings us back to Him in his agony. But I like the last verse too. Sin atoning sacrifice, Thou art precious in mine eyes. Thou alone my rest shall be, now and through eternity. Let's sing it to Him. 120 in the big book.